scripture. We have been on this for a while. Been talking about the human mind for some time. And I'm going to try to wrap it up today. But I'm not promising that it will end today. Because if God should want me to talk more about it, I will. Today I want to talk to us about a message titled, Change Your Mind and You Will Change Your Destiny. Change your mind. Change your thinking and you will change your destiny. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, that is who he is. Praise the Lord. The mind is a camera. The mind is a storage facility. The mind is a projector. Amen? The mind can store. You ask a 60-year-old man, and he can tell you some of the experiences he had when he was about 3 years old. Ask me and I'll tell you some experiences I had when I was about 3 years old, because the mind stored up all these things. The mind can remember. Remembrance is the function of the mind. The mind can go back as far as possible to remember. The mind has the ability to project. The mind is a projector. The mind can go into tomorrow and begin to see things and begin to plan things. The mind can be fruitful. The mind can be dangerous. For life to be impregnated with good things, it means the mind has conceptualized those things. You've heard me say from this pulpit, what you cannot see, you most likely will never get. And that's just the truth. Many of us think that things happen just anyhow, by chance. Nothing happens suddenly. Everybody is a product of their thinking. Everybody is a product of where they are today. I'm going to take my text, an unusual text for a message like this. I'm going to take my text from Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had ordained that we should walk in them. We are the workmanship of the Lord. God created us for good works. God created you to achieve great things. God created me to achieve great things for God's honor and for God's glory. And he said, the path that each and every one of us need to walk through had already been created by God even before we were born. Can you imagine that? He says, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Before I was born, before you were born, there was a destiny that God carved out for us individually to walk in. Many don't walk in it. Some are struggling to find it. Some have found it and refused to walk in it. It all has to do with the functions of our thinking. Some people are unhappy with themselves. They don't like who they are. They don't like who God has made them to be. Therefore, they try to change from who God has made them to be. Such lives always still ends up in misery. Like I said earlier, whatever your mind cannot conceptualize may never become your reality. If you can find and conceptualize and impregnate yourself with the path that God has charted for you to walk in, then you have a life to live. Many people's heart has no voice because they stop telling themselves the truth. When you connect with the truth, when you begin to walk in the truth, then your heart has a voice. Your destiny has a voice. Praise the Lord. Oh my God, everybody's so silent. I said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. My God is good. And all the time. Amen. Things don't just happen. Can you imagine you being at home and suddenly your plates in your cabinet begins to rattle and fall and break? And you say to yourself, it's a mistake. Things don't just happen. Something rattled it. Something made it to fall. The experiences we have had, something made it to happen. Something made it to become our experience. Those experiences may not be God's plan for us, but because of our thinking that leads to our actions, we got into that experience. Praise the Lord. Your mind can make things happen. My mind can make things happen. In this ministry, we are building, by God's grace, a people of great value. How can you be of great value when your mind is not a valuable mind? President Kennedy said many years ago, America is going to go to the moon. At that time, they didn't even know how they were going to go there. But some minds came together and worked it out. The mind makes some crazy things happen. Think about hologram. Technology is moving us towards hologram. A company now has made a game whereby you can physically see yourself wearing armor, wearing weapons, and fighting, and seeing things on the wall. Some will say that's demonic. But it's technology. That's how the mind works. We're going to come to a time where I'm going to be in England because of time difference. I've preached over there. We have finished preaching. Then I'll still preach in Kansas City, but I'm not here. And I'll still stand on this pulpit and you'll see me, but not flesh and blood. That's how the mind of man has gone so far. The capability of that mind. But those things might not really mean nothing when God is not the center of that creativity. God does not restrict the human mind from thinking, from creating. It's a gift. But he wants us to submit them to him. He wants us to make them fit in to kingdom agenda by the leading of the Holy Spirit. So if the mind, if what you think is who you become, then it becomes imperative to carefully choose what we think or what we meditate on. Carefully choose. And that's about what we're going to talk about today, more than anything else. Carefully choosing what we should be thinking on. Because if our thoughts is who we become, then we should be careful what we think. We should become creatures that chooses our thoughts. Thoughts hit our mind in their thousands on a daily basis. And we have to beat out so much and concentrate on just what is right. You drive down the road, you see a big billboard, your eye sees it. You are driving 60 miles per hour. Quickly, you can read as much as you can. Not because you want to read it, but your mind has captured it. It's already stored in your subconscious. Because the media says you need that thing. Then you put it in your mind. And when you are idle, doing nothing, your mind begins to regurgitate all the things you have seen. And your head, your mind too begins to calculate how you want it and how you need it. That's the function of it. But you never knew it was there. But it is there. Everybody say it is there. Paul said, Romans 12:2, we cannot overquote this scripture. Do not conform to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The world there, he said, thereby proving that which is acceptable and perfect will of God. The world there can be broken down into so many things. Don't be conformed to the philosophy of your environment. Don't be conformed to the philosophy of the Congress. Don't be conformed in your conformity. You become sympathetic towards even the LGBT agenda. Somebody called me from Nigeria yesterday and was telling me how the biggest cable provider is penetrating people's minds that in Nigeria now, gay, homosexuality, lesbianism is almost like nothing anymore. Because every movie you watch now, there is a scene there where a man is kissing a man. There's a scene there where a woman is kissing a woman. You go to Times Square, you see big signboards. Even if they are advertising Coca-Cola, and then you see a man kissing a man on Coca-Cola. The world has entered our home. We didn't realize it. We carry it about with us. Parents that abandon their children with their iPads alone. That you don't monitor the things that they are watching. Their mind is being captivated. They are beginning to conform. The church is no longer shuddering at the sound of a man walking together with a man and calling themselves boyfriend. And a girl said, that is my fiancé. You are expecting to see a man. The world can be broken down into anything. But we are advised not to conform to it. It says, resist it in your heart. Resist the devil. What you are not going to fall for, you already know in your mind. Hello? And what you are going to subject yourself to, that you are battling with, you already know in your mind. Some people decided to change. God created them for good works, but their thoughts has turned them to evil people that God is not going to use for evil works. Let me remind us, church. God did not create hell for human beings. Human beings chose to go to hell. Hell was not made for human beings. Human beings choose to go to hell. Let me put it this way again. God does not send anybody to hell. People go to hell by themselves from their thinking, which translates into action. They muddle up their destiny. Watch it, our children, if we are not careful, begin to model themselves after Hollywood stars. I shared the story of Lauren Diego here. She has come out with a new album, very good. She went to sing at American Idol or something like that. She can sing. And the response she got beat her down, that God had to be telling her, is this what I created you for? Let me tell you something. God did not create you to be popular. Can I say that again? Huh? God did not create any one of us for fame. Fame is a railroad that derails you. You want to be popular? Then probably you don't need Jesus. Because the moment you get Jesus into your life, popularity goes out of the window. She came back to her senses. Now she's having number one albums in the Christian world. Do you want to be popular with men or popular with God? It's a choice. It's a choice that everybody has to make. Marriages are suffering today because some men refuse to change their minds. Some women refuse to change their minds. Jesus came on the scene. As soon as he came, he began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. People think, well, the kingdom of Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is coming. No, he didn't say the kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God had already come before you were born. Amen? But when you change your mind for God, the kingdom of God will be birthed in your mind, in your heart, in your life. Change from the ways you are walking now and turn yourself unto God. Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is closer to you than you ever think. It's just waiting for the change of your mind. And the one who created you can help you bust out your destiny. When we change our minds, the impossible can become possible. Some of us want to fight our own battles. Some of us want to go it alone. Rather than submitting our will, our mind to God, and let God fight that battle. And then God can win for you. You have no strength to fight by yourself. How can we fight by ourselves in this age and time? Look at our schools are ravaged with guns. Students walk into classrooms and shooting the teacher, shooting the principal, shooting their fellow students. Except the Lord watch over the city, the watchmen watch in vain. The watchmen watch in vain. A lot of Christians who could have died in 9/11 didn't die. Because somehow God held them back. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor. Neighbor, oh come on, don't let your voice be that low. If you cannot change your mind, even God cannot help you. So true. So true. Show me a person who is willing to change their mind. I'll show you somebody who God is ready to help. If you are set in your own ways, you know, we want God to answer our prayers the way we want it. Huh? And yet God is saying, this is what I want you to do. Think about the open heavens we read this morning. The general overseer talked about building the initial buildings at the camp. When he was sharing that vision with people, they would say, this man, what is he smoking? Huh? And somebody close to you, oh, we have a need. This is the need. And he said, I know that this person can afford it. He said, let me go and pray about it. That's what a lot of us do. Let me go and pray about it. But I want to be part of what God is building. He said, okay. That was Saturday. Came back on Monday. Before he came back, the need had been met. That's the mighty God I serve. And the man now said, I'm ready now. But if you really ask him, he didn't pray. He was only thinking. Fear gripped him. That, if I give this, what will happen? Then he began to think and think and think and think. Well, it's for God. But that house, I've not finished it. But my retirement plan. What if you don't retire? Hello? Your 401k. What of if it becomes 4010? Did it not happen before? Huh? And everything crashed and there was no 4111 anything. And then they begin to pray to God, 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 God. And God will be like, but when I needed it, you said it was your retirement. Go and retire on it. I've told us time and time, if God asks of you to give it, amen, he knows you have it. If God blesses you with it, it's because he can ask you for it anytime. God never asks anybody to give what they can't give, what they don't have. God will ask you what you have. What do you have in your hand? Somebody else might have $10. Another person has $1 million. It's equal obedience. I've told you, when I have it, I will not ask anybody. We talked about, Robina was sharing with me about her toy drive this year. And I said, well, my mindset about the toy drive is going to be totally different from what we used to do before. And she was like, okay, when are we going to start announcing for donations for food? I said, we are not announcing. I already said, my wife and I, by the grace of God, we are going to take over it. And that still stands. Somebody say it's a mind thing. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to go through life and miss God's plan? Do you want to go through life and miss your destiny? Just because you are thinking, just because of what you are thinking, you now miss the whole plan, the whole exercise, the whole purpose for which God made you. You now lose your destiny because of what you are thinking. Some people believe that pastors are thieves. When they ask for offering, when they ask tithe, the pastors are thieves. Don't mind them. They are thieves. Okay. I'm a thief for Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Your thoughts determine your choices. So if your thoughts are wrong, your choices will end up wrong and thereby miss your destiny. Somebody say, minus me. Say, Satan. Say, Satan. You better call him well, though. Let him hear you, that you are not afraid of him. Say, Satan. I change my mind. Amen. Anytime your thinking antagonizes the will and the purpose of God, don't go back and call God when the consequences begin to manifest. Because God is not responsible for the consequences. You are responsible. You are the one who thought it. It's just like men of God who change the truth of the word of God to suit themselves. They're going to suffer the consequences. And they can't blame anybody for it but themselves. Is somebody getting something? The Bible already said, good success comes by thinking on the word, putting the mind of God into yourself. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe. He says what is in the word is what you should do, not what is in the world. What is in the word, that's what we should do, not what is in the world. Observe to do according to all that is written therein. All, not some, all. All. When your thought becomes selective in choosing a little bit of God and a little bit of the world, it's still, you see, a mixed multitude is not a pure multitude. He says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. My thinking on the word of God, my thinking in the ways of God will pave way for me, will pave way for you, and bring you good success. What are your dominant thoughts? Only God knows what we focus on in our mind. And one thing I found out is When your focus is not on the things of God, you are bound to stress yourself. Because the Bible says that the word of God is not grievous. Amen? We are planning the advancement of God's kingdom. You are planning vacation to Disneyland. What if you didn't get there? What will happen? Who will you blame? His pastor that didn't like me. When I said I was going to Disney, his mind was not clear with me. There's nothing to do with me. I'm not in control of your life. Praise the Lord. Your life gravitates wherever your thoughts take you. Your life follows your thoughts. Your destiny follows your thinking. One thing I can't get out of is this. I want to make heaven. That's my primary goal. I want to make heaven at all costs. Now, I have to begin to eliminate things that will not help me to make heaven. I have to begin to eliminate things that will not matter when I get to heaven. This is the only place I can wear fine clothes. When I get to heaven, I'm wearing glory. Hallelujah. It has no comparison to the glory. Fine clothes has no comparison to glory. Praise the Lord. But then, I will not allow fine clothes to deny me heaven. Praise the Lord. So, the days that there are no fine clothes, my destiny, it shouldn't affect me. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Huh? The day I come to the pulpit with my t-shirt and jeans, if that's all I have, it's not going to change my message. Praise the Lord. In the same way, when God blesses me with millions, I'm not going to ask anybody to carry me from my seat to come to the pulpit, to come and preach. And ask them to hold the microphone for me before I preach. Praise the Lord. And then I won't, because of that, do my shoulders like this and change my words. God bless you all. Because I'm going to see all those things as instruments of advancing the kingdom. I don't know about you. The greatest joy of my life is when I'm able to help somebody. There is no joy that beats it. When I'm able to advance somebody else's life for the glory of God, not because I need anything to be arrogated to me, God forbid. Now, like I said to us last week, if scientists can retrain a man's brain, a man's mind, who was paralyzed, retrain his mind to send signals to his limbs and is able to walk again. Imagine you and I retraining our mind to fulfill God's purpose. If that man's brain was not retrained, he will remain a leper forever. Is somebody getting me here this morning? Motion was sent to the man's paralysis because they were able to change his mind. His mind told him, you are paralyzed, you can't do it. And then science was able to tell his mind, you can do it. How do some people lose weight? Because some of the smoothie you drink is something that goes to your mind to tell your mind that you are full. Not because you are full, but your mind says, yes, you are full. So don't be hungry. Have you not noticed that the moment you don't drink it, the one you didn't eat before, voraciously, you call, some of you know what I'm saying. Don't smile underneath. You know? All those adverts, in 10 months, I lost this and that. There are chemicals that goes to the brain and talks to the brain. You don't need to eat much. They will say, drink before you eat. So your mind says, you don't belly full. You can't finish that apple. Not all of that. Just a little. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus, though God-man on this side of eternity, listen to what the Bible says about him. In Philippians chapter 2, the reason why we are talking so much on the issue of the mind, Jesus said we should guard it jealously, for out of our hearts, our mind, proceeds issues of life. Philippians 2, 5 to 13. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Think the kind of thoughts that Jesus thought. Who, being in the form of God, on earth he was God-man. Could he turn stone to bread? Yes, he can. The one who can feed thousands with a few loaves of bread, and then they still have 12 baskets remaining. While on earth, there was nothing he could not do. But he subjected himself as son. A son who subjected himself to obedience of whatever the Father says. He said, whatsoever my Father doeth, that is what I do. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Did you see that? If he wanted to be God on earth, there's nothing wrong. He's not going to lose his place in heaven. But made himself from his thinking, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. He did this by himself, by his thinking, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion, that is as a man, he humbled himself. Humility starts from the mind. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Pontius Pilate said, just answer, and I'll let you go. He kept quiet. He had the ability. Nobody can take Jesus and go and nail him on the cross if he did not subject himself. At Gethsemane, he almost changed his mind. Then he changed his mind again. He said, Lord, if this cup will pass over me. And he said, no, not my will, but your will be done. At that moment, he said, your will be done. He changed his mind to manifest the destiny, the purpose for which he came to earth. But look at the benefit. Wherefore also, at God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now we pray to God. We have to say in Jesus' name. That is the rubber stamp. Praise the Lord. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. everything's on in heaven and in things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, I hope so, not as in my presence only. So Paul is saying, I don't like eye service, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. And remember this, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Finally, Philippians 4, verse 6 to 9. First and foremost, it started. It's like what Jesus said in John 14, verse 14. Let not your, John 14, not from, not verse 14. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Another scripture says in Philippians, he said, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let me tell you the secret to peace. When you take your burden to the Lord and leave it there, and you immediately sense the peace of God, don't bother your head about it again. God has taken it out of your hands. And all you do from that day is just to give him praise and to give him glory for your answered prayers. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Say, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, the word of God is true. Whatsoever things are honest, anything with no defilement, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Now you have something to measure your thinking with. Is this thought I'm thinking, is it just? Is it pure? Is it honest? Is it a lovely thought? When the thought of envy wants to penetrate you, you know immediately to stop it and cover your mind in the blood of Jesus. Change your attention. He says, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, what I'm thinking, will God be glorified in it? Will God be exalted in my thinking? If my thoughts should be mirrored on the screen for others to see, will it be something I will receive applause from or for? Say, think on these things. This is what our focus needs to be for a glorious destiny, for a colorful destiny, for a life that will make impact, for a life that will touch other people's lives. A man sent for me or called me and said, oh, pastor, I need prayers. My life is not going in the right direction. He has a store close to my house. Eventually, I went to his store. And I allowed him to talk. And I saw that my thinking and his own, they are 1 million miles apart. So I said, I told him the truth. You desire change, but you are not willing to change. Hello? It's just like when President Buhari came in Nigeria, Everybody is crying, change, change, change. Change starts with the fact that your car breaks down in the middle of the road. Don't fix it in the middle of the road. Hello? Because you are changing your flat tire in the middle of the road, and other cars are behind you, and they are honking, they are pressing, they are honking, you don't care. Should you not have said, somebody help me push it to the side? There's traffic jam. Change means don't face the oncoming traffic because you are late for work or because you are late for an appointment. When that happens, you need psychological evaluation. Change means when you get to your office, the job they employed you for, do it. Not that somebody says, oh, I'm here to collect a form. And he says, ah, the person who holds the form is not around. He's not in the office today. Whereas you are the one who is holding the form. And that one sits down and says, I can help you if you bring something. Change says, don't demand, just do your job. My wife was sharing with me about some lecturers when she was in the university who will be teaching a particular discipline, and they will tell you the textbook they wrote is the one you must buy. And if you don't buy it, you are going to fail the paper already. They are evil professors. So which means you get 40% or 40 points for buying a textbook. All you need to do is a little and get 10 or 15. And then you get, let my people go. No wonder we cannot make anything happen. And then they will complain, oh, they are not increasing our salary. You already collected your salary by the textbook. Then Paul said, and I can boldly tell you here, I don't like pretenses. If there's anything I hate most in my life, it's pretending. I hate people that pretend around me. If I find out you're a pretender, I'll just separate from you. Paul said, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. That's a bold man. That's a bold statement. And the God of peace shall be with you. He didn't say, do what I say. He even said, follow me as I follow Christ. My life is given to Christ. Christ all my life. No apology, no regret. Change your mind. Change your life. Change your destiny. You want to go high? Change your mind for God. Let God become the controller of your mind. Let God become the controller of your thinking. Let his timetable become your timetable. And you will not live life in regret. Let us pray.